Welcome. Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child trafficking Satanists, is Vinny's jokes. And today, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind everybody that there is a little court date coming up on the 31st of July for our appeal. Myself and Billy TK have been sentenced to 4 and 3 months prison, respectively, and the charges are that we held a protest peacefully against lockdown. So if you would like to come and support us on the 31st at the Auckland High Court, be very much obliged. And for those of you listening, you can of course go to change.org and search Billy TK, and there'll be a change.org petition in there, justice for Billy TK and Vinnie Eastwood. I hope you will sign that and share it around. Now, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, VinnieEastwood.com as well, has a little banner there, the day democracy died. So please go there, click on the big blue banner, and get that puppy sorted, ladies and gentlemen, and watch that video, the day democracy died. It is very, very good, if I do say so myself, at getting across the point of what actually happened on that day, so that you're not relying on the mainstream media coverage at the time. Now, today we've got a very special guest. We've got Phil. Is it Saleh or Sailor?
Phil Saleh.
It's Sailor, isn't it? G'day, Phil. How you doing?
Good morning.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, what it is you do?
I'm a digital forensic cult expert witness. I'm also a volunteer New Zealand firefighter, QFFC officer. And I've been having issues with the Ministry of Justice for the last 10 years. Should I explain the story, Vinny?
Go ahead, mate.
Yeah. My wife and my child disappeared one day. This was 15th of April 2013. And I spent 5 days looking for them, not knowing why they disappeared. And he'd be met by a policeman 5 days later who served me without notice orders made by a lawyer under domestic violence and child abuse, even though there's never been any child abuse to this very day or domestic violence. They just made without notice orders. And in those orders, it said there was no jurisdiction to affect my property, and I just stick with that bit for a minute. But the police just ran raided my house anyway and took occupation. I lost my daughter. I've only just recently got contact with my daughter after 10 years, after some 52 court cases I've been through to get to see my little girl. And in relation to my property, the police took everything. I mean, absolutely everything. I was served at the Rowanie Fire Station without notice orders, which said no jurisdiction. However, the police just ignored it. They contravened the orders. They ram raided my property. They took everything and left me on the street with absolutely nothing. So I was pretty shocked. You know, I've never broken the law in my life. I've got clean skin, what they call a clean skin. I've never even got so much as a parking ticket. And all of a sudden, I'm accused of all these things without notice and get no hearing, no trial. They said it's supposed to be a hearing in 42 days. Well, it took 2 years to get a hearing about these matters. After 2 years, I won my property back. And this is where it gets really complicated. So I've lost my daughter, and that's heartbreaking enough to try and deal with that. And lost all my property, my clothes. They cleaned out my bank accounts. They took my house, which I ended up in Rowanie. And the court made a vesting order after 2 years to vest the property back to me. And a vesting order basically means in lieu of encumbrances, liens, mortgages, and conveyance. So my own property was pretty much just about mine. 6 months after the court vested the property to me, the police then come and ran raid my house again with guns, throw me out on the street, tell me that my house has been sold. But I didn't sell my house. So these matters went through the court, and I did a forensic investigation of the land registry and deeds of title, things that people don't really know very much about, how a mortgage is conveyed and the instruments that are used from the land registry to make these conveyancing things work. And basically, what had happened, they just pressed a few buttons with a few dodgy lawyers and just transferred my property over to the court. And that's how it's remained now for the last 10 years. Even with a vesting order, they would need a High Court order to remove that vesting order. It was never done. So in 2018, I went to see the Land Registrar in New Zealand, in Wellington, Robert Andrew. And we presented all the fraudulent conveyancing documents to him and what had happened with the no jurisdiction in the family court and all the things that occurred around that. And we went to see him. And he said, it's absolutely fraud. Well, we haven't heard from him since 2018. So the matters went to court again. And Judge DeRitter said that fraud doesn't matter. So straight away after that court case, and they still kept my property, I took the documents down to Auckland Central Police Station and put them across the counter. And the police said it's fraud. And they gave me a case number for the fraud. I haven't heard from them since. I've had one letter from the police saying we're too busy to investigate. Shortly after that, some fellows from Ofcan's Organised Financial Crime New Zealand had looked into the documents and they came around to see me at my home and I got a 4-hour interview with them. And they offered me a deal to make a settlement. I've never heard from them since, Benny. No matter how much I write to them or whatever, I do not get a response from the IPCA, from Ofcan's, or the Land Registrar himself. So I've been sitting in a position for 10 years where I've had absolutely nothing. You know, it's affected my job as well. I've got no property, all my money's gone, everything's gone, my clothes, just everything, I was left like that. And it's been a real struggle for 10 years. And I've been pushing this thing through the court now, and now we're actually in the High Court. I've got a case number for it, and it's gone right back to the beginning of breaking into someone's property without a warrant or a court order, and we're going to take it from that point there. And I'm suing the Attorney General and the New Zealand Police for their actions over the last 10 years. In addition to that, Vinny, after I reported the police to the IPCA, a detective from Whangarei then came and arrested me. Before, he said, I breached the protection orders on the 19th of April, but they wasn't served until the 22nd of April. That's what they come up with as a charge. So what they tried to do is make it look like I'd done something before the protection orders, breached the protection orders before the protection orders, which is an impossibility. And I got convicted for that. I got remanded and convicted. And after they'd done all this stuff and they looked at the paperwork, I received a letter from them saying that I'd been remitted. And remitted means the creditor forgives the debtor. But I don't have a debt, but I don't need to be forgiven because I actually haven't done anything. And it's remained like that for the last 10 years. And doesn't matter how much I try and how much evidence I produce to the court, they just won't come to the party. So in my last court hearing, when we brought all these facts up before Judge Dijon, and a load of other matters too, about my daughter and the alienation and changing my daughter's name and all the horrible things they do. He has no excuses. He can make no defence. And he says that I gave consent. Well, I've been fighting this thing for 10 years and I certainly haven't given consent anywhere to anyone to be doing this. In fact, the opposite is true. So now we're going into the High Court to see where the court's going to get their jurisdiction and consent from. Does that make sense? That's where we're kind of sitting at the moment. So I've got evidence to show that judges do pervert the course of justice and defeat justice. I've got evidence beyond any reasonable doubt. It can't be disputed. I've got recordings. I've recorded everything since it started. I've recorded all the court cases, all the police interviews, up until the point where they put me in prison. I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't record anything then, but I've got everything up until then. And it's indisputable evidence. I've actually written the transcripts out manually. And I've taken them down to the High Court and signed them as affidavits as true. And I've recorded the judges in the court and I've recorded the various things that they've been saying. To me, all they've ever done is call me names. There's never been a charge or anything about domestic violence or child abuse. And my daughter's 16 now and she can testify that there's never been any child abuse at all. I've been accused of being a paedophile. I mean, I don't know if you know about family court. They tried to accuse me of being a paedophile. We proved that was wrong. That wasn't even the allegations when they started. That come up about 2 years later, and they throw things at you like that.
Prove any of these allegations. You have to disprove them.
I did. Yeah, I had to disprove them. It was actually a Barnardo's lady, Deb Jones. 2 years after my daughter had been alienated, I got to see her in what they call a supervised contact thing. It's really horrible. And I had a couple of visits with my daughter there, and it's pretty awful where they put the kids, but I wanted to see my daughter. And the report writer, Deb Jones, is supposed to be a professional report writer. She wrote things, like I showed these papers. It says, he puts his tongue in his daughter's mouth and the way he touches her is sexual. These are the kinds of things she started writing on the paper. Well, I've never put my tongue in my daughter's mouth and I've never touched her sexually. Of course, I'd cuddle her to death. Yeah, I always would. But there's nothing sexual about that at all. And fortunately, when she was making these statements to the court, which I didn't even know about, this was all kind of done behind your back, when she made these statements to the court, I pulled up the other Bernardo's ladies that were also present during their supervised contact, and they all said it was completely untrue. So the judge, it was a Judge Lindsay on this particular matter, she said destroy the evidence. And so, Benny, I actually stole the evidence off the lawyer for child. I've actually got a copy of all the things that they wrote about me, and not one single word of it is true. Even though we proved that, they still didn't address the lady who's the report writer, and as far as I know, she's still a report writer writing these things about people, you know?
And how many, if we project outwards, like this is one case, right? But I have interviewed so many people over the years who have told me almost the exact same story, haven't seen their children for years. All the evidence they have gets thrown out. All the evidence that they have of fraud and everything against the courts gets thrown out. And it's just a system, right? It's a child trafficking system. And they've basically set up the family court to be outside of the actual courts so that they can do their child trafficking and have name suppression while they're doing it.
Absolutely, Vinny. Like, I don't see the family court protecting family. Is it a real case of domestic violence? And sure, that does exist. Then that would go through a criminal court because someone's been hurt or raped or something. Like, the definition of domestic violence is physical or sexual abuse. That's the real stuff, right? Everything else is just he said, she said about people talking about each other. But the real domestic violence does go into a district court and it gets dealt with there. But the other stuff, the family court, it's not about the family at all. I know hundreds of families that are broken or haven't seen their children, and their children are being hurt as well by not seeing their parents. And the family court ends up taking all the money. That's what I just don't understand about it. What's the money got to do with protecting children? So when they jump me without notice, for no reason, and without jurisdiction, the first thing I received from the court 2 days later was a $65,000, you're entitled to $65,000 legal aid. So you've got to pay $65,000 just to prove you didn't do something. You know, and it just goes from one to another. If you don't pay the $65,000, then they put a statutory land charge on your property, right? So they do it half to each partner, and so the court divide up your house, and they want the money. So they say, right, I'll give you $65,000 legal aid, and I'll give the other partner $65,000 legal aid. And at the end of it, Vinny, the family ends up with nothing, and the children end up with no property or no assets, you know? It's so expensive in my life as people having to go to courts and pay lawyers $250 or $300 an hour. They actually don't do you any favours whatsoever.
Yeah, you were telling me before that there's three options, like the $250 an hour, $500 an hour, yeah, or more.
Just in my field, if someone was to employ me in the court as a court witness or digital forensic court expert witness, they would have to pay between $250, $500 or more an hour to prove themselves not guilty. And a lot of people haven't got that money. They haven't got money to make a defence or even defend the rubbish. And half of it's rubbish, not even real stuff. I mean, it's just name-calling between couples when they're breaking up. It's not really what you would call violence or anything untoward, you know, something that would become criminal and put people in prison for. And it's not just guys. I mean, it happens to ladies too. Ladies leave their children and end up in prison. I know quite a few ladies are straight as an arrow who've ended up in prison through the family court, you know. People will, you know, you take their children, they will resist. There's nothing more precious than your child.
Yeah. There was this movie, I forget which one it was, but it talked about kidnapping children, and the couple that were doing this, that were kidnapping people's kids, were kidnapping Christian children's kids, specifically because these people were at war with God, and nothing would make somebody stop believing in God faster than the loss of your child. And that's why we look at this system, I kind of look at it in that light of a very dark, sinister organization with dangerous people employed at it, masquerading as the protectors of children. Kind of like a man with a big cage and a giant lollipop going around and chitty chitty bang bang kidnapping the children and stuff like that. If the family court looked like that, it would be appropriate because then you could see what it was. But because they've got all these fancy titles and all this money flowing and things of that nature, you think it's something official, you know? Oh, surely it couldn't be doing anything wrong the majority of the time.
I found it quite terrifying. Like I say, I've never been in trouble with the police. You know, the only work I've done in court was in a professional capacity. And then to be brought into a court as a defendant for doing absolutely nothing. And then it just progresses and progresses. It takes 2 years to get a hearing. By the time you get your hearing, there's so many... I'll give you some of the allegations they make, really, and these are just so bizarre. So the allegations of my police files, and I don't even know, a little while ago I sued the police for some under the Officials Information Act for disclosing information and false information. But some of the allegations that the police have written down, and just show you how corrupt this is, they said I have guns and gun licenses. Well, I've never had guns or a gun license, but it says that on my NIA file. It says I was raised by a serial killer. It says I walk around saying I'm going to build bunkers for the end of the world, and et cetera, et cetera. All this crazy attempted strangulation unknown. I said, what don't you know about that? I've never strangled anyone. I don't say that about anybody, right? But what they're doing, they're eluding in the minds of others a particular thing. Right? But I keep writing allegations like attempted strangulation unknown. He's got guns and firearms. He was raised by a serial killer. I mean, he's just bizarre. He walks around saying he's building bunkers for the world, et cetera, et cetera. They build this big police file. And a strange policeman who's never met you before will read this before he talks to you, and he thinks you're a complete nutcase and a criminal, you know, which is so far from the truth, you know?
Yeah, it's the demonization of character. Like, is this guy dangerous to us? Does he know what he's doing? Well, let's make sure that we stack the deck against him anytime anybody has a conversation with him. It's kind of like when Kim.com got busted. The day before he got busted, the police turned up to his house and he showed them around. You know, showed him his gun closet and everything like that. And then the next day, they had choppers and like 30 police cars or something like that. It was ridiculous. Why? Because when the FBI sent a request to the New Zealand police, passed on to the High Court for the warrant to arrest, they had 70 pages of false accusations and blown out of proportion BS in order to get the police to get this frickin' warrant off of a judge. Because no judge is going to go 70 frickin' pages of accusations and go, no, I'm not going to get a warrant for this because I need to investigate all of these first. No, they'll just do that. And so,
also, really, I've had a lot of eluding on the paper. I mean, I've never done a case where I've actually been the person involved, but when I was actually the person involved, the way they kind of word things is very misleading. For instance, they broke into my house, but when they charged me for them breaking into my house, they said he was in her property. Right? So they start changing words to make it look like you're doing something, but I wasn't. I was just living at home in my own house. I wasn't doing anything wrong whatsoever. Right, but the police worded it later, or 8 months later, he was in her property, and various things that they change all the way through the what they call a statement of facts, which isn't factual at all.
Indeed. Well, we'll talk about this more after the break, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on vinnieeastwood.com and republicbroadcasting.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on republicbroadcasting.org. And my very special guest is Phil Saylor, the man who's using his legal acumen to expose the scumbaggery of the New Zealand Family Court. Welcome back, Phil.
Hi. So, I'd just like to mention, Vinnie, that I'm actually from the UK. I'm from London. And when these matters kind of got out of control, I went to see my British ambassador at the embassy to see if something could be done about the judiciary or the police. And he looked at my bits of paper, which are pretty damning, and he said, I'm actually completely correct. It's completely wrong what they're doing, and especially with alienating my child and my property and stuff like that. But he said to me, he goes, unfortunately, the Queen, which is the Queen at the time, he said, the Queen is just a guest in New Zealand, and there's nothing she can do to help me, apart from he could get me out of New Zealand if that needed to be the case. And I said, no, I'm not leaving New Zealand without my daughter. Of course I'm not. And so I spoke to my British ambassador, and I wrote a letter to the Human Rights Commission after that to say, hey, you know, my human rights are being breached here. Now, these guys are not doing this by making mistakes. I received a phone call from the Human Rights Commission, and they basically threatened me. And the conversation went something like this. He goes, are you Mr. Slattery? Yes. And he discussed the matters that I've written in the letter. And he said, you're a danger to the New Zealand government. And I said, how so? And he said, you're a very, very clever man. Now, this is the Human Rights Commission. They're supposed to help me. And they basically threatened me. And he said, well, look at it like this, Mr. Slattery. If you leave New Zealand, you're not coming back. And I was like, wow. There's no reason for you to do that. But basically what it was, if I left the country, they're going to block me out of New Zealand and I can't come back. And so I said to him, I said, well, obviously you can't kick me out of the country then at the moment. So I'm staying until these matters are resolved, you know. And I've been stuck in that limbo for a long time now. So these things aren't a mistake for me. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing.
The whole idea is we're going to accuse you of something that's not true, and it's going to be so expensive and so stressful for you to prove your innocence that you may as well just prove guilty, because it's actually easier and cheaper and less stress.
And most people do. I mean, I just know statistics from the family court. A third of people just walk away because they don't know what to do or how to deal with it. Another third of people will try, you know, paying lawyers and things until they run out of money. And that's the end of them. And another third of people like myself will just carry on and just fight for their children as hard as they can and then property, you know.
Well, the 80-20 rule.
They know that a lot of people are just going to walk away because they just have no idea how to protect themselves, you know.
This is the most dangerous kind of thing that you can really get yourself into, you know. The whole idea is don't get caught, C-O-U-R-T, you know. This is just the worst place in the world to be, I think, for a human being. It's just horrible. It's very boring, too. That's what I can't stand about it. It's just why have no judges ever done a course in theatre or anything? It's not fun. It's just dull. And how do they get away with it, man? It's just like, okay, there should be some sort of a requisite. It's like, okay, dude, you're making the jury fall asleep. Okay, just you're out of the job, mate. You're out of the job.
Hey, if you have a recording, say, of a judge blatantly lying, and I've got three judges with three different stories on the same matter to suit their purpose, they can't all be right, can they? And these things are recorded. So two of the judges got to be wrong. I say all three of them are wrong. But when you go into a different court, they're quite happy to change the whole story depending on what evidence you put before them and come up with a different story, you know? And I could go into depth on that and say I've got the recording. So when I produce those recordings through judicial conduct, and basically, to put it in a nutshell, your judges do tell lies and here's the evidence of it, they don't do anything with it. Absolutely nothing. So there's no recourse for people. They're, you know, these judges or the policemen are accountable to no tribunal. Like the IPCA are supposed to investigate police. They don't. They are the police. They're on the same side. And I call them the illegal cover-up organisation, because anything the police do, the IPCA will do their utmost to cover these things. Unless you get it into the press like I did last time, where the IPCA had to come to the party and pay compensation, if it hadn't gone in the newspaper, they would have just railroaded me and ignored it, you know. And not everyone's going to get their case in the newspaper, so they will just railroad and ignore offences that they know the police commit. You know, I'm not saying all policemen are bad, but I know at least 10 that are terrible, and they remained at large for 10 years to hurt other people. I mean, these things somebody obviously are doing to other people too.
Well, I'm just thinking about this.
Fully aware of it.
That statement, not all policemen are bad, is just like, I'm not sure if I actually agree with that statement, because just roll with me on this for a second. Like, if a bad cop does something bad and a cop beside him doesn't do anything to stop him, doesn't report him, doesn't sell him out, doesn't do anything of that nature, I think that person's a bad person too, right? If you witness somebody being murdered or something and you don't tell nobody about it, you go down as an accomplice. And so therefore, whatever police are bad, all the rest of them are just accomplices.
And you know what they say, Vinny? Like, when I report this to other police, because I say I'm not the bad ones, they say, it's above my pay grade. So they won't actually challenge another policeman. Like, if a policeman knows another policeman's breaking the law, they basically turn their back and walk away. They will not get involved. It's like an old boys' network. It's very similar in the fire brigade. If I were to injure somebody in the fire brigade would probably cover me. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And sort of cover me as much as they possibly could if I had an accident or hurt somebody or something.
Indeed. One moment, please. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at VinnieEastwood.com. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
You're listening.
Welcome back.
Hey.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on republicbroadcasting.org. My very special guest is Phil Saylor, and we're talking about the New Zealand Family Court, the official child trafficking organisation of New Zealand. Did you know that in child protective services in the United States, you are 9 times more likely to be abused by child protective services than you are with your own parents? Just a little interesting statistic there to kind of rub it in just a little bit, that you're dealing with criminals here, okay? These are not good people. These are not people who follow rules. These are not people who have a code of conduct. What they have is MSU, all right? It stands for making stuff up. And that's what they do all the time to get what they want. And what they want is to pervert the course of justice, get away with it, and take people's children so they can abuse them. That's the family court. That's child protective services. That's, I would probably hazard a guess, most government child protecting claiming organizations around the world to be. This world is run by pedophiles, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because the people in charge know that nobody will get themselves into a very good situation if they get exposed internationally as a pedophile. So what better person to have in charge of countries and banks and police organizations and things of that nature than somebody you can throw under the bus the second they don't do what you tell them to do? That's how they do it. It's simple blackmail, ladies and gentlemen, and it is everywhere. Phil Saylor, my very special guest, welcome back.
Well, I think one of the problems too, Vinny, is that there's no accountability. So if we do catch a policeman or a judge perverting the course of justice, and you have evidence of that, there's actually nowhere you can take it or get anything done about it. They will pretend that there is, even to an ombudsman and various people like this, but I can tell you I've been through every channel for the last 10 years, and the only response I ever get is no further action will be taken. And that could be to the New Zealand Law Society when you complain about lawyers' malfeasance or something like that. All they ever say, and every other person's response, is all they ever get is no further action will be taken. And that's across the board, you know?
See, back in the day, in the old West, you just round up a posse and just go and grab the dude, you know, like, string him up. But no, you can't do that no more, man. We've got processes, we've got a bureaucracy, we've got to keep spending money on
all that stuff. And you can imagine, like, in the real world, say you went to an African tribe and you picked up one of their babies and you run off of it, they'll throw a spear for you straight away, right? No questions asked, no waiting for 6 months for a hearing or something like that. It's our natural thing to protect our children. And when that's taken away, Vinny, people kill themselves. I spoke to the police. I said, do you know you're causing suicide? And I've got a few friends who've killed themselves in the last 10 years through the family court. They committed suicide. They just couldn't handle it. And he said, oh, yeah, we know people commit suicide over this. So the police actually know that people may commit suicide when they do these things to them, which is conspiracy to murder. You know, if you know you're doing something that might cause somebody harm, regardless of what the reason is, and you know they might top themselves because of it eventually, surely you've got to take some responsibility for that.
Well, and you don't have to when you're a psychopath, and that's what I tell people all the time. It's like you're a person with a conscience, you know. You can tell things, you know, you can feel things. But a psychopath, on the other hand, doesn't have a conscience. They don't, all right? When you go to sleep, if you've been in a fight that day with somebody you love or something really mean has happened to you or whatever, you'll find it very difficult to get to sleep because your mind won't want to shut up. You'll be tossing and turning this side and that side. You might sweat or something like that. Psychopath, on the other hand, no such problem whatsoever. What did you do yesterday, honey? Oh, I satanically, ritually abused and raped 20 children, honey. Good night. Just like out like a light, sleeps like a baby because I don't have a conscience to keep them up. And, you know, people don't understand this. And that's why, what was it, Thomas Sheridan back in the day, who was a guest on the show regularly, wrote a book called Puzzling People, The Labyrinth of the Psychopath, because they are very puzzling. They're very curious and very, very freaking scary because they will do things that it wouldn't even occur to you. Like, I remember one guy was telling me his sister was a psychopath, and every time when they have a family dinner or something, some kind of crap, or she'll kick something off. And so this family dinner, he decided that he would say something to her, you know, quietly and nicely beforehand. Just say, hey, if could we just like just keep it cool and nice tonight? You know what she did? Of course you don't. She went to a closet, pulled out a broom, came back to the dinner table, and then broke the broom over the back of his head. All right? These people will do things you wouldn't do. They would do things you wouldn't even think of doing. And that's what you're up against. If you're up against a tiger or a lion or a dragon, that's the appropriate level of threat because they're predators. Absolutely the most dangerous creature in the world is a psychopathic human being.
And the problem with the judiciary, they don't follow legislation, really, at all. So we've got all this legislation, which is all written in legalese, which makes it hard for the common man to understand it in the first place. That's why you have to get a lawyer to interpret the meaning of the words, even though it looks like English, right? It's not English. So people are disadvantaged anyway, because they're using different words with different or the same words with different meanings. And most people don't even know what's going on. I'll give you an example. In legal land, the word instrument, right, it's got a completely different meaning to the word instrument in Oxford English Dictionary. Like an instrument is a musical instrument, a surgical instrument, a measuring instrument, or something like that. In legalese, it means money, right? An instrument is money, liquid negotiable instruments. So when they're actually talking in the court, it's not like being reasonable or fair. The person who's there is at a complete disadvantage because you don't actually know what they're talking about, you know? Unless they've learned law or read the Black's Law Dictionary and swallowed it, they're not going to actually know what the judge is talking about. They think you're saying one thing, like, do you understand? You know, I want you back here next week. Do you understand? And you say yes. Basically, when you said yes, you said you're standing underneath him. So there's lots of trickery within the language used in the court. So you're not just going in there as a bloke and saying, hey, I haven't done anything, you know, whatever. They're going to use loads of trickery language to trick you into saying things that, and most people don't know legalese, really. They just don't. Why would they? You know, most people go to work and have a job. Don't spend their life studying legalese or following the Black's Law Dictionary or reading 2 million sections in legislation. No?
When you indoctrinate somebody into a cult, you come up with a new set of language and words and meanings so that when you're talking with other members of the cult out in public, the rest of the public don't know what you're talking about. Thus, the cult can keep itself secret and safe, yeah. And as well as making all the people inside that cult think that they're special because they know the true meanings of the words and you don't, and you're just a little lemming and stuff. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's keeping people at disadvantage. And it's actually illegal, really, under the rule of law. It's called void for vagueness. And if the legislation is written in a language that the common man doesn't understand, it should be thrown out the window because it's for us. It's not for some judge to have his way with you or some lawyer. The legislation is written to protect the people, and it doesn't protect us at all. And as I say, when the court breached legislation, and that's half of what I'm going to the High Court for, I'm talking hundreds of acts of legislation, Care of Children Act, changing my daughter's name, moving her from a school, hiding her, you know, and all these kind of things that they've been doing. It's all against the Care of Children Act. They don't say a word. But if they can use something against you, all of a sudden legislation counts. you know?
Okay. So let me get this straight. You go into a court and they're speaking gibberish. The judge goes, and you're like, I don't know what you're saying, bro. And it is like, and the interpreter comes up to you and just says, hey, bro, he actually needs you to hire me as your interpreter. Otherwise, the case can't proceed. And the lawyer goes to the judge, and the judge goes, and so you're sitting there, the judge is going, and the lawyer's going, and you don't know what the hell going on. All you know is that your frickin' bank account is getting lighter by the second.
well, really, I'd say, you know, when you got arrested yourself, I bet your bail was done by a duty solicitor, right? You couldn't just go up to the judge and say, hi, I want bail, as Vinny, because you're locked in prison in remand, right? So you're going to have to go to some duty solicitor who you don't know from a bar or so and hope that they get your bail because you can't do it yourself.
Yep.
And that's just ridiculous, you know? That's just completely ridiculous. And a person who's incarcerated was going to find it very difficult to do anything to defend themselves when they haven't even got a pen and paper and they're sitting in the room. And the police are out there trying to fabricate whatever they can do against you. And there's nothing you can do. You're sit locked in a room. And if you're not paying a lawyer hundreds of dollars an hour, you're not going to get anywhere. And even if you do pay the lawyer, you probably won't get anywhere either.
Yeah. And we weren't even allowed access to our phones so that we could get the numbers of our lawyers or loved ones or anything. We weren't even allowed to call our loved ones.
No, and then even a few judges, Vinny, so the judges actually get what it's like in remand. I mean, I'm not a criminal, right? But I was locked up with loads of criminals, quite heavy guys. And that's not my character. That's not somewhere I want to be in my life, you know? And it put me in danger, not just from the police, but also locking me in jail with undesirables, so to speak, you know? And they shouldn't do that to anybody. I think the judges actually need a little bit of taste of that on their own. And put them in remand for 6 months, and then you think about it before he does it to someone else who's innocent, you know?
Oh, man. Wouldn't that be interesting, that old saying of who watches the watchers? Who brings justice to the justice givers?
Well, hopefully we all will, Vinny. I mean, this is why I'm going to the High Court. It's not just about me. I just want to prove the point of the corruption within the courts and the New Zealand police, that other people can take it up as well, you know? Because the court never used any legislation when they acted without jurisdiction, I filed in the court a thing called inherent jurisdiction. And my and they took the filing, and my understanding of that, there is no legislation about these matters anymore because they acted without jurisdiction. So it's going to be very interesting when it comes up in the court.
It's like,
because jurisdiction is everything. Jurisdiction means a dictionary they're allowed to use to mess you up, basically. You know, each district court, high court, they will have a different dictionary. And those legalese words mean different things in different courts.
And you know the meanings of these words, and you can...
I do know. I'm actually quite good. I did swallow the Black's Law Dictionary, and I have read a lot of legislation, and I've also worked in the court too, so I do understand it. And I say this, you know, depends what court you're in, the words have a different meaning. And that's called jurisdiction is a dictionary of that particular legislation, you know? Like, you might notice when people get arrested, it might say, anybody committing this offence, anyone committing this offence, right? Any person committing this offence, there's three different things there. They all mean three different things. A person is like someone who votes and things like that in New Zealand. A body is a corporation, right? Like, they say anybody doing this thing, you think anybody, but it's not. It's any corporation doing this particular thing. And so it's very deceiving for the average person to be in a court and actually know what's going on. They might think they do, but it's probably a lot different to what they think.
Yeah, it's how they conceal this kind of thing from people and be so in the public eye. Like, everybody's heard stuff that's been in the courts and what have you, but they have no idea what it actually means or what the consequences of this actually are.
Well, I was quite surprised. Like, people were out of their limb. If you haven't been hit by the family court, then you've got no idea what I'm talking about, you know? But when I first posted on Facebook about my experience with the family court, I had quite a few guys contact me and say, hey, Phil, I would never have believed what you're saying, but it just happened to me. And it just happened to me. And then I got started getting all this correspondence coming back that wasn't just me, these things are happening to it, to lots of people, you know? And I'm talking about non-violent, non-offenders, people who've never broken the law. I'm not talking about violent people fight with the missus or beat up their children. That's a different story. I'm just talking about average Joes who go to work helicopter medic pilots and things like that. One of my friends, you know, he lost $800,000 in his house to the family court. He ended up getting his two girls, but now he lives in a caravan, you know. And it's just destroyed his life. It destroys loads of people's life. I don't even know about that fellow, Sid Hazlitt. He set fire to himself outside Parliament. And he felt so strongly about not seeing his children. He actually burned himself to death. And I think it came out in the newspaper, man sets himself on fire trying to burn down the beehive. But that wasn't true at all. He went there to make a protest. I mean, it's a big thing to do for him to set fire to himself, you know. That's how bad, strongly he felt about it. And he burned himself in front of the beehive. You can see in the paper there, you know.
Holy cow.
And there's another friend of mine, heart attacks, suicides, and they know that that's what it causes when you just go and ram-raise someone's property, take their children, accuse them of loads of things. But a lot of guys, really, if you accuse them of being a paedophile, it breaks them, you know? If you're not a paedophile and someone starts writing things that you're a paedophile to a bloke, they will start feeling ashamed and probably go quiet and hide away, you know? It's, rather than try and defend something that's not true, it just ruins people's life and their credibility. You know, all you've got to do is make that accusation about someone being a paedophile and people start looking at you sideways, you know? That's the kind of environment they create for a lot of these fellas.
How much of the people who've had their kids taken from them smoke cigarettes, drink alcohol, do drugs, and engage in other really unhealthy coping mechanisms so that they can just deal with the pain of losing their children?
I say substance abuse is huge after that, you know, especially alcohol, a lot of people. And then, of course, they can't see their children because they become alcoholics, you know, and things like that. It's just a coping mechanism to deal. I mean, it's just so hard. No one would know. I mean, if you just knock on someone's door and took their child, that, you know, the mum and dad would be broken, right? They're going to be broken. And that's exactly what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. I don't think any judge would like it if I knocked on his door and took his children and his property, you know, without notice or hearing or him doing anything wrong, be unheard of. But that's what they're doing all the time, every day.
Every day.
6,000 cases a year, 6,000 children a year is whacked into the family court families, right?
6,000 a year.
Yeah.
Now, if you were a pedophile with a quota and you had to get so many Asian children, so many Islander children, so many white children, and so on and so forth, wouldn't you want a filtering mechanism that you could prevent you from having those kidnapped children have parents that come after you, that kind of thing, and methods to eliminate those parents, basically, via attrition? This is kind of like where I'm going with this, because this is what Dan Ryder, back in the day on the show, leaked to the public about the quotas that are happening out there in child, youth and family services and things of that nature. They just got to go out there and get their quota, and they don't know what's happening to these kids, a lot of them.
It's totally brutal. And it's just that the thing too is like losing your kid for a couple of weeks would be pretty terrible, right? You're with a child every day till it's born and all of a sudden it disappears. A couple of weeks is devastating. A couple of months is terrible. A couple of years, wow. You know, 10 years, it's like having someone die. You know, it really is. It's just the most shocking thing you could ever do to a family. But they come in and do all this stuff, but they don't get the matters dealt with. My last hearing to see my daughter took me 2 years. 2 years. And they still didn't remove the orders. It was just the fact that my daughter's now 16 that she just told them to get lost and I want to see my dad. And they couldn't do anything about it because she's 16 years old.
So you've seen her recently?
Still trying to keep us apart.
Have you seen her recently?
Yeah, we're in contact now. You know, we're just kind of building up a relationship now. And as I say, after 10 years, I don't want to say too much about my girl, but it's like being with a stranger, you know? It's really hard for her. It's really hard for me. They've upset her life. But she was top 1% in New Zealand education standards. And that's gone now. You know, all the smart things she was doing at school and everything just disappeared. She's just been isolated. And anyway, I can't really say too much about her because that's her privacy, you know. But I'm fighting that in the court and I'm suing them for that. And I don't know how that's going to go down because the people I'm suing are the referees or the judges. So how is that not biased going into court like that? I believe there should be an independent body, which I'd love to be in charge of, that investigates complaints about judges and policemen and various things and actually takes some action on it, you know? There needs to be something independent of the police and the judiciary that can actually have a license to go and investigate certain matters, serious matters, you know, when judges have stepped out of the line and they're causing serious harm and injury to the public.
Let's say it wasn't official. Is it possible for any person to get access to things of this nature, conduct investigations on their own or anything like that? Because if it can be done on the micro, it can be done on the macro.
Well, I tell you, Vinny, I do digital forensics. I'm also a top security penetration tester. And I've taken some information off the police and the courts without permission, because I can, various emails and things. And I've presented those quite openly, that I took them, and here they are. I'm presenting this email correspondence between this policeman and this registrar, etc. They haven't said a word to me, Vinny. Not a word. I've monitored the police. I've monitored a particular policeman and tracked their emails and things like that, and I had a very serious policeman come and talk to me about that. And he said, why are you doing that? And I said, because you're not. And he says, would you like to take my statement about this police officer? He goes, oh, no, it's above my pay grade. And he left me alone to carry on doing what I was doing. So possibly that's illegal. I think it's in the interest of public safety. You know, Vinny, I'll go down any rabbit hole and collect any information if I think it's in the interest of public safety. And so far, I haven't been arrested for it. And please, come and arrest me for it, because I can defend myself. You know, I think it's justified. I think we need to be collecting this information and collating it and then taking an action against the particular people involved.
Well, in New Zealand, there's no court of record. Like, there's no official record. They can just strike things out off of it and things of that nature. And that's why it's so easy to conceal corruption in New Zealand, I think. Because if there's any evidence of corruption, they can just get rid of the evidence.
Well, they do. And the last thing, you wouldn't get the transcript. The judge got caught lying, and basically just lying. And so we asked for the transcripts, and he wouldn't. But I can get the digital recordings anyway, because it's all on it anyway. I can get the digital recordings. And so I transcribed the recording, and I go, here's your transcript that you won't give me. And I signed it off in a high court as an affidavit to show that's what he said. And I'm digital friendly, so it's digitally recorded. They can't really argue with it. We'll see what happens in the high court, really, you know?
Man.
I have no fear of collecting information for a good reason. I'm not doing anything dodgy, but I have no problem with collecting information off policemen or confidential information off lawyers or the courts. I think they kind of fear me a little bit, the fact I can do that. But I think it's necessary to do that to start exposing them, you know? And I have done, and I filed all those documents into a submission and filed it into the court, and the judge wouldn't even look at it. I said, but that's the Crown Prosecutor's emails you're on, and you need to read those. He goes, no, I'm not looking at evidence today. I said, but it's really important that you read what he's communicating. He goes, no. But he didn't even ask me where I got the evidence from. He just wouldn't have it read in the court.
Well, Phil,
no reason.
I wish you the best of luck with whichever judge you get. And I hope that you hold their frickin' feet to the fire and do what you gotta do, man, because there's not enough people out there with the kind of acumen that you have going up against the family court and the corruption that is all pervasive within it. But that's almost the show for the thing. Have you got a final rant for us? Any encouragement for those other people out there who are going through something similar? Oh, sorry, go right ahead.
Much bigger difference altogether if we all did these things together. I'm going to make my point at the moment. Hopefully I'll win, and then I can start encouraging other people to take the same process and start helping some people accountable, you know. I'm a pretty noisy fella. I've got a lot of people on Facebook and followers and that kind of thing, so hopefully I can make a bit of a noise that people will sort of grasp the coattails and start doing the same thing, you know. If we all do it individually, we're not very strong, Vinny. But together, if hundreds of people start doing this, we could maybe just change the system, you know, get a bit of fair play.
Indeed.
I can't stand to see another child taken or another guy or family broken because they took their property and their children and lost all their money. And basically, that's how those fellas end up under the bridge drinking meth and whatever they do, right? They just lost complete faith in life. I just want to change that. I was almost there myself and what they did to me. I'm not. I'm a very strong-minded person and I'm not stupid. So hopefully we can bring these people to account and bring them to justice, you know.
on that point. If you do something that deprives somebody of their property, you are called a thief. And if you do something and it hurts somebody, you know, personally, emotionally, spiritually, that kind of thing, you're called an abuser. If you do something that winds up getting somebody killed, you're called a murderer. So the family court is doing all of this. So if the family court aren't thieves, murderers, and abusers, then I'm a 6-foot woman called Sheena. All right? Now, that's the sad reality that we've got to basically come to, ladies and gentlemen. Reality doesn't care what you think. It doesn't care what you believe. There's only two things you can guarantee about reality. Well, three things, really. It is what it is. It isn't what it isn't. And you can't argue with that statement.
Right.
Thank you very much, Phil. And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And we will see you again sometime at VinnieEastwood.com. Please go to that and donate to me today, ladies and gentlemen. PayPal, KiwiBank, and Patreon options are available for you to support the VinMeister and the several thousand dollars worth of legal bills I still have to pay off. And yeah, thanks, guys. We'll see you again next time at VinnieEastwood.com. Cheers, Phil.